mean, just a little good. Come on, he's great big good, isn't he? Come on, he's great big good tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so faithful. He's so good to us. I'm excited about tonight. Amen. Tuesday night, I got folks in the house. I'm not just preaching to the camera. Although I like preaching to the camera. It was good, and you know. But I like it more when I can heckle people and they can heckle back. Amen? So it's all good. But let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into the word tonight. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you're for us. God, we thank you that there's nothing that's impossible if we keep you at the center of everything. So Lord, there's no situation that's too hard. There's no situation that we can't handle because, God, you're with us. And we just want to give you praise and glory and honor tonight. Lord, we don't want to find the Word so that it can submit to our thinking. But we want to get our thinking in line with what you've said. So tonight, Lord, we just yield our hearts, we yield our minds, we yield the Word to your Word, and we just give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. It's really interesting because today Renita was helping me set up my office. And again, Marcy Owens and Donnie have been in there painting and doing all things. It looks really nice. But what's really interesting is when we first started A New Beginning in 1995, it was January of 1995, we rented some office space. And if you look out of the window of my office, you can see the office space that we rented, right? It's kind of wild. And I don't know what that means, but it's kind of cool. But what's interesting is when I was thinking about tonight, and this is going to be probably a 3 or 4 week, you know how I say that, 3 or 4 weeks, and it turns into months. You know, it's just me. It's just the way I am. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this particular subject as I was putting books away. I found a book that made such an impact in my heart and in my life and hopefully in my ministry. And there's a pastor in Portland. His name was Jerry Cook. And I don't know if he's still alive or you know, whatever. But here's the name of the book, and I'm going to plagiarize it probably a little bit, but I'll go off on it in different directions. But the name of the book was Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. Now, we all know that we need that, right? I need love. I need to be accepted. And please forgive me, right? Please forgive me. You know, but we need to also understand that that was God's intent for us. I mean, that's what he's done for us, but it's also because his Spirit and his Word lives on the inside of us. That's his design for us, that we walk in love, acceptance, and forgiveness. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. What does that mean? How do I do it? How does it all work out? Well, it's not going to work out if we stay in the flesh. Because if we're in the flesh, our flesh wants to dictate how we love, who we love, when we love, who we accept, who we don't accept, right? But God, and if we want to be like God, right, we have to know that we know that we know that he accepts everybody just the way they are, right? Just the way they are. But again, that doesn't mean even we accept people, it doesn't mean we give them license to live any the way that you want, right? I mean, God accepts everybody. In fact, Jesus died on the cross so that we could be accepted in the Beloved when we come to him, right? And that's not just for us, it's for the whole world. But that doesn't mean he just shines over everything that you do, right? I mean, if you're sowing to the flesh, if you're sowing sin, you're going to reap the results of that, right? So it's acceptance is not license, but it's also looking from a different viewpoint. I need to accept people like God accepts them. right? Go if you with me, if you will. We're going to talk about love first and then get into acceptance. But go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 14. The first thing that we're going to talk about is love. And I'm going to do a little bit of an overview tonight, and then we'll break down some things going forward. But 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "We all know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death." What does that mean? That means if we're born again, there ought to be something different about us, and we should love the brethren and the sistren. Well, we got to love the brethren and the sister, but watch this. It's really interesting. We're going to get into that. But go on. "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know that we love because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him and does not love, and how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth, and we can assure our hearts before him." See, God wants us to walk in love like he walks in love. But not everybody's lovable. Right? I mean, come on. Not everybody. Let's just get real. Not everybody is lovable. But what we're talking about here is a supernatural love and not a natural love. We're talking about agape love. Agape love, the type of love that loves based on the motive of the person giving it rather than the actions of the person that it's given to. It's unconditional love, it's called, right? But listen to this. I thought this was really, really cool. It says agape, love first exists, and then emotions follow. See, with our natural love, we get emotional and then love peaks its head up. But with agape love, it's I'm going to love you before I know anything about you. Right? I'm not going to wait till I'm acquainted with you. I'm going to love you because you're a child of God, because or you're just a human being in general. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So it's kind of like when we're looking at people, right? We've got to love them even when our emotions are not lining up with our want or our desire. And we've got to look at it, God, I can supernaturally love people even when I don't feel like it. Come on. Even when he's acting like a fool, I can still love him. Why? Because God loves him. Right? God loves him. I told you the story. I'm not going to go into the full detail, but I was in a mall and all these people were walking by and, you know, weird. That was when goth was really heavy and they had piercings everywhere and, you know, just amazed at people. And God says, "You see all these people going by you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I love every one of them the same way I love you." I thought, that's not possible. Right? because I know I'm trying to be good, right? I'm trying to be a Christian. I've been preaching the word. God, you've got to love me more than them. And the reality is no, he doesn't. Because when we're looking at people, when we're trying to build a church, when you're trying to do anything that has to do with God using you for people, you've got to come back to the fact that the love that you have for people is not based on what they do or based on even how you feel about them. Love is a decision that you're going to make. And here's the, I think... It's like if we can get this, God's heart for us is for good, even when we don't deserve it. God's heart for us is He sees the potential in us and says, listen, I want your life to be really good. And so when we're looking at people, God, give me your love for people. And it flows into acceptance, but love is a commitment and it's independent of what we feel or we don't feel. Let me read that again. Again, I'm stealing this from Jerry. Love is a commitment and it's independent. Oh, excuse me. Love is a commitment and acts independent of what we feel or don't feel. Come on. Love is a commitment. Right? Love isn't our feelings. Love is a commitment. And again, that is, I want your best at heart, and I'm going to lay my life down for you. That's what we were just described in 1 John. Love is when you lay down your life for somebody else. Now, I'm not talking about being a doormat. I'm not talking about being walked on. But what I'm talking about is I'm going to choose to love you whether you love me back or not. I'm going to choose to walk in love no matter what you say or what you do. There was a man of God that I was involved with. And, you know, when you get big into ministry and you know, you get kind of famous, well, you got a target on your back. And it's not the world that puts a target on your back. It's other Christians. So they were writing books against him and writing this about this and writing. And so he had some people encourage him, you need to react. You need to respond. And he said, no, I'm going to walk in love. I'm refusing to get into that type of thing. I'm just going to preach what I know God has put in my heart to preach, and I'm going to leave that with them. Come on. Now, I believe that God wants the church to return to its roots of loving people, no matter what they look like. I mean, think about our society today. I mean, the craziness that's going on today, it's like, we've got to come back to the place where God, show me how to love people even when I don't understand them. Show me how to love people even when I think what they're doing is totally nuts. Right? I mean, even, and especially sometimes, we get into the thing where, well, God, if they just acted like me, they'd be lovable. Right? Or if watch this. If they were just acting like my culture says people should act, then they'd be lovable. And I'm not necessarily talking about racial things, but it has to do with that. If you've ever been around an old style, old family Italian people, they yell at each other all the time. I mean, they're always yelling. Well, I come from a quiet family. That bothers me. But are they wrong or am I wrong? Neither of us are wrong. So you have to begin to love people because God commands us to, but it's the right thing to do. So when dealing with people, I've got to begin to love people and accept them the way they are rather than looking through the view of how I think they should be. And begin to act. Now, again, I'm not talking about the, you know, you accept the way they are and you don't put up biblical standards. That's license, and I'm not talking about license. But I'm talking about if God is going to use us to deal with people who are down, who are out, or doing stupid things, then we've got to have a sincerity of heart toward them that loves them, even though we don't necessarily approve of their actions. And sometimes that's difficult to do, but yet that's what we have to do if we're going to affect the world the way that God wants us to affect them. Right? So we're talking about love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Now, acceptance is really love in action. Let me tell you a couple of stories and kind of emphasize the point. There was a pastor years ago, and he had a pretty good church, but he got involved with a woman, right, and went, had an affair, and of course that all blew up, and so he called this pastor. It was early in the Sunday morning. The pastor was there, and he says, "Pastor, can I come to your church?" He says, "Well, That's a stupid question. Of course you could come to my church. He said, well, I've been for 6 months. I've been trying to go to churches, but they all kick me out because of my actions. Now, I mean, I can understand raising a standard. I can understand all of that. But the reality is that every one of us make mistakes. Every one of us are in positions where we need love to cover our multitude of sin so that we can be restored. Now, this pastor brought him in. He said, well, listen, I know you got an overflow room, so, you know, I don't want other people to know that I'm there or to cause you any harm. He says, no, you come and I'll greet you at the door and I'll put you right in the front. Right? What he was saying is, I want you to feel loved here. I want you to feel accepted here. I don't necessarily agree with what caused you to go down this road that was wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that, listen, people make mistakes. But if you don't, you know how you can say, I love you, but you, in your heart you don't accept them, you're just looking down your nose at them, right? They know that. You don't have to say it, they know it. And so are they going to come back? Heavens no. But when they come in and you love them just the way that they are, then you give them God an opportunity to use you to touch them so that they can be restored to where God wants them to be. The bottom line with that man is that it took a while, but that church worked with him and the elders worked with him. And he, about 8 to 9 months, he was completely restored to the point that he was back in ministry. Now, he didn't get back with his first wife. He married another woman and had a child with them. But you know, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That wasn't God's plan. But aren't you glad that even when we don't fit into God's plan, He gives us a redo? Come on. So what am I saying? We've got to say, God, teach me to love like You love. Teach me to have a motivation that loves people even when I don't feel like loving them. Teach me how to look and listen to this. I think this is so important. That love, really, the agape love is as I'm looking at your best interest. I have your heart in mind when I'm dealing with you. It's not my heart. We do this, and it's really easy to do. I'm going to love you as long as you don't make me mad. Right? I'm going to love you unless you inconvenience me. Right? I'm going to love you, but what we're really saying is that as long as I'm comfortable in this relationship, then we're okay. But if not, you're out. Right? You're out. Now, sometimes in marriages, sometimes that needs to happen. But the reality is, right? I mean, you're out of here because you're not acting right. But the reality is that we can even separate ourselves from somebody and still love them. Remember 1 Corinthians, and Paul said, "Listen, man, this guy's acting weird. You got to get him out." But again, this is really paraphrased. But in 2 Corinthians, it says, well, don't leave him out there too long. Restore him. Right? Our motivation always has to be to bring those people back to the Father, no matter what they've done. Why? Because that's what God wants. Right? His heart for them. Now listen to this. Again, acceptance. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I love the book of Ephesians, as you know. It took me 6 months to get through it. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's just start in verse 4. But I want you to look at this and view somebody that you have a hard time loving. We're going to read some verses, but I want you to look at this from the standpoint, this is how, especially if they're Christian, this is how God looks at them. I love it that he thinks of me this way, but think about them this way. Just as he chose them in him before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined them to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Wait a minute. How can I reject somebody if God accepts them? See, here's really, how many have ever been rejected in your life? Right, all of us have. What's the answer to rejection? It's acceptance. Why are there people, I mean, have you ever thought about why in the world would anybody join a gang of thugs? Why? Because they're accepted. They're part of. And if we can make the world feel like God loves them, and we can act as agents of God and make them feel accepted, they won't have to go other places to look for it. And we can absolutely heal rejection by acceptance. And again, aren't you glad that God accepts you just the way you are? You probably haven't felt this way, but I have to talk myself out of this all the time. It's like, God, could you really love me? I mean, I mess up so much, and I'm not perfect, and I should do this more, and I should do that more, and I should, you know, have read the Bible more, I should have prayed more, I should, what if I would have done, and all of those things. You say, God, why do you even love me? It's because he's accepted me in the beloved because of what Jesus did. So what am I talking? I'm talking about, God, give me your heart for people. His heart for people is that my blood is enough. Right? My blood is enough. And start looking at people. You know, they're accepted. I don't know why God did, but he accepted them. Right? They act different than me. They look different than me. They think different than me. But God, give me your heart to accept them so that I can be your healing agent. That I can take that rejection that the enemy wanted to destroy somebody with and turn it around by my acceptance and be used as a vessel of God to heal the brokenhearted. Come on. It's a real key to heal the brokenhearted is to make them feel accepted. And again, we often set ourselves up as judge and jury. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Look, we set ourselves up, and that's not our job. Now there is a time for judgment in the church, and there's a time where somebody's doing something and they're not repenting, that the pastor has to do things. And that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about in our hearts. That we got to get judgment from the standpoint of, I know how you are, right? I know what you're thinking. I know what you're feeling. And go, no, God, that's your department. I need to pass that off to you. And then walk in a way that Lord, I'm going to let you straighten them out. But I'm just going to love them. I'm just going to accept them. Tell you a story. This man, his name was Harley, and he was he had been a pastor for many years in the Bellingham area, and Harley was an interesting fellow, but he was a mainline denominational preacher that got filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, one of those tongue talker guys, And he got so filled with God that he was down on the streets just loving people. And this was back in the late 60s when the hippies were all over the place, especially at college towns. And he had this church, and they just went through a remodel and had the good orange carpet brought in and the orange pews, again, the 70s, and all of those things. And he brought all of these hippies, kids. And back at that time, they didn't wear shoes or underwear. Right? I mean, that's just the way. And their hair was long and all of that stuff. And he brought them in. And he's bringing them in. And they were coming to Jesus. I mean, it was awesome. People were getting saved. But some of the older people that had been there for a while and had were on the committee to buy the carpet and, all of those things. They said, man, we can't have this. They're ruining our carpet. And so Harley went up to the board meeting, whatever they were having. He said, listen, if you don't knock it off, I'll take the pews out and the carpet out and we'll have nothing. We'll sit on the floor. Because these people's hearts and their lives and winning them to Jesus is more important than the carpet or the... Right? Well, how about us? Is somebody's soul more important to us than our feelings? Is somebody's soul more important to us than our being right? I've told you the story, but it bears repeating. Years ago, I was out at our lake property, and the whole family was out there. It was the summertime, and I have a nephew, and I was looking at him, and I it was just a judgmental type of thing on him, and I just felt this thing, and I just... And, of course, I went away praying. I said, God, what is that? I said, God, there's something. He must have a demon or something, right? That's what I was thinking. And God said, no, it's you. Can't be, God, can't be. Come on, I'm a Holy Ghost preaching fool. I love Jesus, and it's you. He said, what? He said, you don't look at his heart the same way that I do. Come on, I had to repent. I repented. I mean, it didn't take me a long time to change. I repented. I prayed for him. And the next day, I'm not saying he got saved and the angels came down or anything like that, but our relationship was different the next day. Why? Because I accepted him the way he is. And I'm praying, we all have faults, and we're praying that the people be delivered from them. But at the same time, as Lord, let us become people that genuinely accept people when they walk through the door. We love them and accept them and are glad they're here, no matter what their circumstances are. Man. And I'll tell you, that's the kind of church that I want to pastor. I want to pastor a messy church. What do I mean by that? Where people come in and we're not all cookie cutter the same. But that we're all a mess and we know it. And so we can help other people who are a mess. And love each other and look to each other. Come on. I had a gentleman that he came to church. And again, I'm not even going to get into what sin he was involved. He'd been part of the church, but got into some things, was out there, and he brought some of him and his friends to our church one Sunday morning. And he said, I knew I'd be loved here. And I'm not saying they got delivered that day. They didn't. But they got prayed for. They got loved on. Right? That's what I want. I want God to be able to love on people. And if we keep them long enough, God can do a work in them. It's not my responsibility or yours to change anybody. It's our responsibility to bring them to God, to let God change them. Have you ever tried to change somebody? How's that working for you? The only one you can really change is you, right? Anyway, all right. I'm accepted in the Beloved, but so is everybody else who will come to Jesus. And I need to start looking at people that way. Unreserved acceptance of people should become a habit. Let me say that again. Unreserved acceptance of people should become a habit. Right? Now again, I'm not saying that's just license for people to live the way they want to live. But what it's saying is that I need you to feel like we can have a relationship even if we're different, so that I can love you like God loves you, so that God can touch you. Come on. Hallelujah. It's hard to witness to anybody that runs the other way when you come to see them. And sometimes that's nothing more than shame because they're under conviction or something. I mean, that happens. But I think that they should feel when you get them trapped somewhere, right? That they should feel such love from you that goes away. See, here's the deal, and this is so cool. If you really understood how much God accepts you, shame would not be a part of your life at all. You wouldn't walk in shame. Now, what is that? I mean, the umbrella of shame is, I don't feel worthy enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not as good as they are. And that should all be gone away because God accepts us. I love it, too, that He accepts us just the way that we are, but He loves us enough not to leave us that way. Right? We're all growing. We're all going. Hallelujah. Listen, acceptance is a break in the stronghold of shame. If you feel ashamed, if you feel like you're not good enough or whatever, just talk to God about how much He accepts you. Based on His love, but His acceptance makes us feel like, it's okay for me to be here. Again, acceptance, not license. Acceptance is, just because I accept you doesn't mean that I really like everything that you do. And this goes into forgiveness, and I need to hurry. But go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read this. And we're going to talk about each one of these in the next few weeks. But Ephesians 4:32, and you all know this, and these verses kind of make me mad on one hand and blow my mind on the other. In verse 32 it says, be kind to one another. Wouldn't that be awesome? We could use a lot more kindness, and not just toward us, but toward others, right? Do you know the Bible is true? It says you reap what you sow. If you want people to be kind to you, start being kind to others. But here's where we get in trouble. We say, I've been kind to them and they're not kind to me. Well, you're looking at the wrong source. God will bring somebody else to be kind to you. You don't need to get it from the one that you're giving it to, because if you're really walking in love, you're giving it without any strings attached that they love you in the first place. I'm going to be kind. I know this. He's a teacher at Rhema for a long time. His name is Tony Cook. And Tony, amazing teacher. He travels all over the world. But he's one of the kindest men I've ever met. He'll come up to you and talk to you like you're his long-lost brother. And he's sincere about it. And if you're around him long enough, he'll know your name, your kids' names, what they're doing, and all that. He'll remember all that stuff. It's amazing. But his kindness attracts people to him. Maybe we're not attracting people because we're not very kind. Just saying. Throwing it out there. We're talking about love, acceptance, and forgiveness. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I'm supposed to forgive others like God forgave me. Jesus said it this way, and it was a little different. He says, if you don't forgive, then neither will your Father forgive you. There's too much on the line for that. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I started forgiving people in advance. Right? Because I refuse to be offended. I've had offense come to this whole move thing. I've had many opportunities to be offended. I really have. And I've had to work through them. But I choose not to be offended. Why? Because I know that God's not offended at me. And I want to walk. And listen, I can forgive people just as God forgave them. That's incredible to me. You know, other scriptures that say, love one another even as God has loved you. What? What? How is that possible? It's possible because we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. I think after I finish this particular group of series of messages, I'm going to go back, and years ago I taught on forgiveness, what forgiveness is, what it's not, and how to walk in it. And I think after that, we'll do a whole series on that. Because it's phenomenal. Listen to what Catherine Marshall said. She said, forgiveness is releasing another from your personal judgment. Forgiveness is releasing somebody else from your personal judgment. Forgiveness is not agreement. Just because I forgive you doesn't mean I agree with what you did. Forgiveness is not saying what you did was okay. Forgiveness is not even saying that there shouldn't be some sort of repercussions for your actions. But what you're saying is, I'm not the judge over that. I'm going to leave that between you and God. Right? Forgiveness simply means you won't act as judge. To keep someone under personal judgment is to play God. So it's like, Lord, help me to love people to the place where they feel loved, but they also feel accepted, and that I'm not constantly holding their past over them. Have you ever been around somebody that reminds you of what you did in 1972? Right? Right? Yeah, and it's constant. It's constant. And so what does that do? That pulls you right back under the pressure of that thing. And you can't grow out of that as long as you accept that or deal with that. And so are we doing that to somebody else? It's like, Lord, I forgive them. Now, here's what I found out. Forgiveness is a choice, but you have to reinforce that choice a lot. Right? Because here's what happened. I forgive them, Lord. You told me I had to, so I'm going to. And then their face comes before you again. I forgave them, but I don't like it. Lord, you remember what they did to me? And you want to rehearse that whole thing. And it's like, no, Lord, help me to forgive. Isn't it remarkable that he said to forgive as God has forgiven you? And God forgave you this way. He said, as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. And really what he's saying is, I'm not holding it against you. Now again, forgiveness is not saying that I trust you. Right? Just because you forgive the person that came in and ripped you off doesn't mean that you give them the key to your house. Right? I mean, there's some but what it means is that I forgive you and I place you in God's hands to judge. Or even, I forgive you, but I place you in the police's hands to deal with. I'm not going to be chained to this any longer. And again, I'll close with this. I've told this story many times, but it so pictures the release that comes with forgiveness. And I'm not really concerned tonight necessarily about your release. I'm concerned about the people's release so that they can have an opportunity to come to God. Everybody knows who Gary Ridgway was, Green River Killer, right? And at his sentencing, they let the victims come in and talk about how it's affected them so that the judge can put the right judgment down. So you're seeing all this go on, and all of the people are torment. Their faces are contorted and just really angry, understandably, about what he did to some of their loved ones. And this old guy got up there. He had a white beard, looked like Santa Claus. He looked like Dennis. He had the bib overalls on, you know, and just looked like Dennis. And that's Lila's brother. Anyway, so Kim comes in and he's, and there was a glow about him. He had long hair, beard. I mean, just really kind of odd looking duck, but there was a glow about him. And he said, "Mr. Ridgway, I want you to know that I do not condone what you did. I believe that you'll be punished sufficiently. But I've been forgiven by Almighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken my sins away. And I'm going to release you to His judgment, and I forgive you." He was the only one in the whole court that had peace. Everybody that couldn't do that or wouldn't do that was living in torment. He had peace, right? But watch this. That simple act could have been a doorway to open up to Gary Ridgway's heart for him to seek after God, right? Because even Gary Ridgway, the monster that he is and was, deserves God's forgiveness. God doesn't want him to go to hell. See where I'm going? So as a church, as a family, as a mother, as a father, as a brother or sister, it's like, Lord, put this into my heart. I want to walk in love, acceptance, and forgiveness. So we're going to talk about love next week. The week after, we'll talk really more about acceptance. And then the third week, and probably for 3 months after that, we'll talk about forgiveness. Amen? Amen. Y'all get something tonight? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love tonight. And Lord, as we come before you, we ask you, God, to help us to love one another. Help us to forgive one another. And help us to, just accept one another, warts and all. Teach us, God. Show us. And then, Lord, bring people that we can love and accept and forgive so they can be one to your kingdom. I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. We'll be here again on Sunday morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen.